Good morning. I want to welcome all of you here on this, which is the sixth Sunday after Epiphany. Also, those of you that have joined us via our phone patch and on our Facebook Live. We're going to open our service with song number 157, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty, number 157.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let's give thanks and pray. Gracious Father, we come once again in that name that has been given above every name, the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we give thanks, Father, that this word that you have supplied unto us, this gift of faith to believe this word, is that which has drawn us here today, that has caused in our hearts a desire to not only hear your word, but to come to that point where we desire to live according to your will and purpose. So we pray, Father, that as we gather together even today, that our focus might be upon that work of redemption, the work of salvation that Jesus has accomplished for us, because that is what cements within our hearts that desire to know you, the one true God, to know your Son, Jesus Christ, and to also know that that work of the Holy Spirit, which abides within each and every believer, is that which would lead and guide us, not only in time, but will carry us through to eternity. We thank you, Father, for the blessings that you have supplied unto us, the natural blessings in such abundance. You've given us a land of so much abundance to live, and we pray, Father, that you would bless this land so that it may also bless others. We pray for our president, the vice president, the Congress, the judicial branch. There are so many, Father, that have been given those positions to bear rule over us in that sense, that they our directors and leaders of this land. We pray, Father, first and foremost, that they might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and his work of salvation, to know that they are sinners in need of that grace, even as we also recognize that we are sinners in need of grace. And we thank you, Father, that that word, and we pray that it would continue to go forth, that it would work within the hearts of those leaders, not only of our land, but across the world. We pray, Father, that this message of the gospel might be proclaimed in every land, that whether it's on a street corner, whether it is from a pulpit or whatever setting or place you have caused this word to go forth, even as we remember our brother Tom and John as they continue in their mission work, we pray, Father, that you would cause that word to be fruitful, that it would go forth and bring the power and the unction that only the Spirit can bring to cause this word to be alive, alive within our hearts, alive in that sense that we today look to those things which are eternal. We pray, Father, and give thanks for the natural blessings that you supply unto us. And we, you know, even as Jesus has taught us to pray, that we would pray recognizing that you are the giver of even our daily bread. And we also pray, Father, that you could give us that recognition that you are the giver of every good and every perfect gift, and that you might continue to supply not only to us, but to those all those that are in need. We pray, Father, for those that have lost loved ones, the difficulty and the trial that there is in losing someone that is close to you. We know, Father, that is a difficulty that each one of us has experienced to varying degrees. We know, Father, that there is one source of comfort, and that is in Jesus Christ, who has brought to us that comfort and consolation of the gospel, knowing that one day we will all be reunited in eternity. We'll be able to sing a song of praise and of thanksgiving. Now we ask, Father, that you would hear that prayer that Jesus himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's continue with song number 499, Be Still My Soul, number 499. Thank you.
So today's psalm reading will be the 138th psalm, found on page 482 of the Pew Bible. 138th psalm, page 482. And we'll read these words in the name of Jesus Christ. I will praise thee with mine whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward the holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, which thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, we will continue with song number 734, My Heart is Filled. That's in the supplement. And then Pastor Stan will bring the message. Greet you with the grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May it be with you not only this day, but ever henceforth. Amen.
Maya surprised me with a song. I probably would request that song every single day that we would meet here. It's been a song that has been very close to me. You know, when you deal with matters that are, well, cancer is one that I have dealt with, and I know there are others here that have dealt with cancer, and you recognize how precious each day is. You know, it's a gift that God gives. It's out of His supply that we live and breathe. You know, the Hebrews writer tells us that it's in Him whom we live and breathe and have our being. You know, the very fact that we are is a gift of God. You know, and what a marvelous God we have that supplies unto us in spite of our unworthiness, if we want to put it that way. You know, God has not deemed us worthy on our own merits, but through His Son, Jesus Christ, we receive that marvelous gift of salvation, to know the promises that He has supplied. You know, the gift that brings us from time to eternity. You know, we deal with time, and time is something that, you know, is very much a challenge to us at various times, and we have both joys and sorrows in time, and yet, you know, when God brings that work of peace within our hearts, what an abundant gift that is, you know, the work that He brings through Christ Jesus, and that's the only way we have peace within our hearts. You know, otherwise it's simply an absence of war, and that is not peace. You know, when God brings peace, you know, the prophet Isaiah says that the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. You know, that's God's gift to us, to be able to go through time and the difficulties that there are in time, and to be able to recognize that it is out of His gracious hand that, you know, we can even live and move in this world that we live. You know, the power that this word brings is a marvelous work. We're going to turn to the Gospel of Luke for our reading today, the Gospel reading that has been appointed is from the 5th chapter of Luke, verses, it's found on page 754 in the Pew Bible, the 754, it's chapter 5, and we're going to read the first 11 verses of Luke. We'll read these again in the name of Jesus. It's Luke chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed Him that He would thrust out a little from the land. And He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when He had left speaking, He said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto Him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both of the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished at all that were with and all that were with him at the draught of fishes what they had taken. And so was also James and John and the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed Him. Amen. The Gospels give us a beautiful record, don't they, of the time that Jesus spent here on this earth, and I think, you know, it's important for us to recognize that He was true man and that He came to this earth for a purpose. You know, first and foremost and above all was that for the salvation of humanity. You know, the fact that He suffered and died upon the cross of Calvary, that He rose again victorious over death, over hell, and over the devil in our behalf is first and foremost the message of the gospel. And that gospel testifies to us a marvelous gift that our sins have been forgiven. You know, we have many ways that we want in our own minds and hearts to atone for things. And, you know, the law teaches us that, you know, it is, you know, Paul calls the law holy and just and good. But the law teaches us that we cannot fulfill on our own abilities. You know, the matters that come to us through the gift of the gospel are through faith in believing what the word tells us, the words and the promises of God. You know, we were talking about Noah this morning in our Bible study, and you know, Noah built a ship. You know, and you know, that's not remarkable on its own, because we live in an area that's very very prominent in shipbuilding, very prominent in having shipping as a part of the benefit that this state has. But Noah built a ship before there ever was rain. They didn't know what rain was. And he didn't build just a small ship. He built a large ship. You know, we were discussing the lengths and the breadth and the height of it. And it's, you know, it's over twice as wide as this church. And it's, one mentioned that it was the largest ship that could possibly be built by wood. You know, and here Noah, before there was ever rain, and the whole world looking at him and saying, well, you know, what are you doing? And I'm sure there was concern within Noah's own heart, just as we have concerns. You know, we sometimes have doubts and fears, don't we? You know, and we face things that are a challenge to us, and we wonder, where do we turn? Well, we know where Noah turned. He turned unto the Lord because he was obedient unto the Lord. He was obedient to do what God instructed him to do. You know, and that's the way it is with us. When we begin to have concerns about where do I stand with God, where do we turn? Are we going to turn to someone who's going to you know, give us all kinds of ideas and things to do? No, that doesn't work. We turn to this word because this word has life in it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. There is no other way to approach unto God other than through the mediator, Jesus Christ. This gift that God supplies unto us in hearing about Jesus and knowing the events that took place, you know, they're a precious gift to us, and we need to know them as his children. We need to be absorbed in these scriptures. We need to know this word from inside and out. And yes, we're going to find lots of places in this word where we're going to be challenged with our natural minds. You know, and I remember as a young boy, elder pastor saying that, well, sometimes we simply have to tip our hat to the word and move on and allow the word to be the word. And not say, well, let's change this and make it more palatable. We see that in the world all around us where they want to change the word and make it something that fits them. And when a church begins to cause this word to fit them, we're no longer worshiping the one true God. We're worshiping ourselves because that's something we've devised. It's something that we have set out and say, this is how it's done. Where this word is instructive to us. This word brings to us the direction and the guidance and the gospel that's needed. And yes, it gives us everything we need that is needed to be supplied unto us for the work of salvation. And that all comes through faith. You know, when we read the faith chapter in Hebrews, that 11th chapter, it doesn't hurt to read it over and over again because it goes back to the beginning and it encompasses all of Scripture, you know, all of the individuals, and it tells us by faith. You know, the fact that even as we were just talking about Noah, we read this morning and from that 11th chapter, you know, because, you know, how was it that Noah got by with those things that were such a challenge even to the human mind? But the word tells us here that in the 11th chapter of the 7th verse, it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. The simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of defining who Noah was and what happened. And that is each one of us. Preparing of what house? Yes, Noah was able to bring with him those eight souls total that entered into the ark. But first and foremost, dear brother and sister, it is incumbent upon you to prepare your heart to know this one true God, to hear this word and to believe this word. Because we can't help others. We can't share this message of the gospel if we don't have that gospel resident within our hearts. And if we don't know this word, you know, then we don't have a way to be able to speak to them about who Jesus is. You know, and I think it's marvelous that we can see the events that took place, you know, as he walked with his disciples. You know, this is very early on in his ministry from this portion of Luke. You know, these disciples were with him. If we go to the Gospel of John, it gives us a description right after Jesus' baptism, how he called those disciples, you know, and there was a number of disciples that began to follow him. So, you know, we can deduce from that Jesus had been with these disciples, you know, that he had traveled with them. The earlier part, in the fourth chapter, we can see how he traveled through various parts of the land. He went to Capernaum and to various places to be able to speak and to teach and to share this message. He went to the synagogues. He had begun his ministry. You know, remember what he said when he began his ministry? He says, "Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand." That was the beginning of his ministry. And that's the focus that it has. Because all of the teachings and the things we learn and glean to do have to follow this work within the heart. In other words, we're beginning to divine and to grab things that make us feel good, and to make us feel like, well, we're on the right way. There's only one thing that should make us feel like we're on the right way, that we should experience, and that is the gospel. It says, your sins are forgiven. Why? Because there's a name given above every name. And because he shed his blood for you. You know, that's the essence of what this communion that we are to partake of is. It is given and shed for you. That's the power of the word to secure our hearts and say, yes, I believe that gospel. And to go through that which God himself provides for us to assure us of our salvation. And so Jesus taught and he, you know, performed miracles as he went along the way. It was to strengthen the faith of those that were with him. You know, to declare the power and the glory of God. To lift up that which God had established. And so as Jesus goes through there, as he goes and begins to, it tells us when it came to pass, when the people pressed upon him to hear the word, he was, you know, after he's preaching in the synagogues of Galilee, he was there by the Lake Gennesaret. And it tells us they pressed upon him to hear the word of God. Wouldn't that be marvelous? You know, if we had such a great crowd as we do in our modern sporting events and the various political events, you know, all of the gatherings that we have, if people would press in to hear the word of God, we can pray for that, can't we? And I think it's important that we do. Let's pray for those that do not know this peace of God. Because this is an eternal peace we're talking about. This isn't something that's short-term and temporary. This is God's peace. That's why we use that terminology. And I fear sometimes that I say God's peace and simply, you know, it just becomes a greeting. And it really shouldn't be that way. That's why I try to use different languages. I have for years to use a different language because it causes me to think about it. Causes me to think, well, what am I saying? It's our desire that others would know this peace of God, that God's peace would be with them. You know, that's the blessing that we have when Jesus is in our midst, because we see that they were pressing in. It tells us in two ships standing by the lake, and the fishermen were gone out and washing their nets. Well, we are told in the next few verses just who those fishermen were. They were close confidants of Jesus, weren't they? They were beginning to learn about Jesus, coming to know him. And, you know, we all are in the same boat. We come through. From our early teachings or sometimes in older years, you know, we're brought to that place of coming to know who Jesus was. And it tells us that he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. You know, it must have been a special occasion. Wouldn't it have been marvelous to sit at the feet of Jesus, sit on that shore there, and just listen to Jesus talk? Because we know that he had gracious words. Even at 12 years old when he was in the temple, you know, the scholars there, the scribes and the Pharisees, they marveled at what he said. Because this was the word of God speaking to them. This is the same word of God that speaks to us. Yeah, we're not sitting by a lake. You know, we might... might be sitting just in a pew, but we're under the hearing of what God has said. And that's what's important, that we take this scripture and we ask God to show unto us what is necessary. What is it that is needful in my heart to receive? It says, after teaching the people, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Well, Simon was an experienced fisherman. You know, we know that he, even after Jesus, you know, was crucified, and you know, they struggled with the fact that he had been crucified. They went back to their fishing. You know, it was something that was a part of his life from his early, you know, and here Jesus, who doesn't tell us he was a fisherman, he was the son of a carpenter, and typically in those years, you know, the son, or you know, the they followed the father's vocation. But this Jesus, as he tells Simon to go out and launch, let down your net. You know, Simon answered probably how I would answer if somebody was telling me how to do drywall. You know, if they said, well, if you just do this, it'll be better. You know, well, I've only done it for 40 years. You're telling me how to do it? You know, that's how we react, isn't it? That's how we, if I would, you know, tell someone how to bake or to sew, that, you know, or to, you know, to build something that I'm not familiar with, I'm sure they'd have the same reaction. Someone who has that experience. And Peter says, he says, Master, we've toiled all night and taken nothing, nevertheless. And this is the beautiful part of this scripture, isn't it? Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. You know, that's amazing, isn't it, that he says, at thy word. And that's how we should be. This word, every promise of this word that God has given to us. You know, we should lean upon that. We should drink that in. We should partake of that. Because this is life. This is what God brings to us. This is the gift that he supplies in Christ Jesus. You know, we read this morning, and I'm going to read it again here, because it's such a marvelous part of what this gospel brings to us from the first chapter of 2 Peter. You know, this work that God brings to us of the divine nature. You know, Peter tells us, you know, and we remember how impetuous Peter was. You know, we know how he, you know, wanted to defend Jesus. He cut off a servant's ear. You know, he didn't, you know, he was adamant that he was going to go to death with him. And yet, you know, we know the results of that he wasn't able to do it on his own abilities. But when God works within us, when the Spirit comes to us, when this word is united with the Spirit of God, we come to this place where Peter says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. In other words, he was a servant. He served Jesus Christ. Even though he was a fisherman there, and knew the technical abilities, he had the talent to fish, he served Jesus Christ. He listened to him. He heard that word. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, here's a fisherman writing about what he experienced within his heart. You know, and this is one of the early experiences that we read of Peter and Jesus, the interaction that they had. You know, this fact that he was a fisherman, he knew what he was doing, but He submitted unto the word. And what a place. You know, that's difficult because that's contrary to our flesh. It's contrary to, you know, what we think we need best. But what a blessing that Peter was obedient unto that word. And it tells us when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. In other words, they fished all night and they didn't get anything. They dropped their net where Jesus said, and they were breaking their nets. And he beckoned unto their partners and were in the other ship that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. When God gives, when God supplies, he supplies in abundance. And he's not talking, I don't believe this account is about the outward things and the blessings of, you know, we're going to get all kinds of wealth and so on. You know, that's a prosperity gospel, which I firmly don't believe in. Because we are all sinners in need of the grace of God. You know, we're not going to get better and better somehow and gain more and more. There's no point to it. Because naked we came into the world and naked we're going to leave, right? We don't have a choice in that. We can look at the entire course of humanity and it has happened that way. There is no benefit or blessing. You know, these are gifts that God has supplied unto us in the external way and to be used unto his honor and glory. You know, this isn't what this is talking about. When God gives, when he supplies, and, you know, this has been used to identify as the church, you know, the church dropping its net. You know, and even though it's a fractured net sometimes, I struggled with that in my early youth. Why can't everybody be exactly the same and you know, believe exactly the same way? That's not the way it is, because it's by faith, because it's a gift of God, because it is by grace. It is out of God's mercy that he has brought to us this marvelous gift of salvation. And so we see the reaction that Peter had. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." And that's how the gospel begins, doesn't it? When you have recognized that you're a sinner, and we come to that place through the power of the Holy Spirit, it isn't by our own understanding, by our own merits to be able to somehow achieve that. It is God's work in us. You know, it's a work that, you know, isn't seen. It's one of those things that are unseen. But when we see that, we see that he was, you know, he says, "Depart from me, I'm a sinner." He recognized that this was something far greater than he. This was something far greater than the individual, the teacher, you know, the one that he had walked with. This was God speaking to him, bringing to him the knowledge of who he was. He says, "For he was astonished, and all that were with him, and at the draught of fishes that they had taken." And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. You know, they all recognized this. You know, there was something here because we fished all night and we didn't get anything. But now, when Jesus says, you know, and that, isn't that a beautiful thing to know what Jesus says? You know, when Sunday school and we sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so." The Bible is a scripture. It's the word of God. It tells us of who Jesus is and how much he loves us. He loved us so much that he went to the cross. Even though we were unlovable. Even though, as the Apostle Paul says, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait. He didn't say, "Okay, become better and then I'll think about it." No. He took upon himself something that no one else could do. And this is the beginning recognition here of Peter. And many times God works with us in those slow little ways, you know. And, you know, I've told many times about me seeing my grandmother and her hat and coat that I recognized from the balcony. You know, that was the beginning of, because a question came, "Is Grandma Christian? Does Grandma believe?" Those are important questions. And oh, what a marvel when we say yes, and yes they are. And Jesus begins to tell these disciples, he says, "Fear not. From henceforth, thou shalt catch men." In other words, I will make you fishers of men. You know, this fact that Jesus sends us out into this world to share this message with those around us. To share this message of his love, of how great that grace is. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. You know, God calls each of us to a special purpose, and we're not all the same. You know, each one of us is, he's created us individual, and he gives us the abilities wherever it is necessary, he will supply. You know, it might be one individual that you touch in your entire life. How many sheep had to go astray before Jesus went looking? Just one. It tells us the angels in heaven rejoice when that one sinner is brought back into the fold, or one individual is brought back to that place of repentance, or comes to faith in receiving. That's God's gift. That's how he works, through this word, through his, you know, through his church, which we are this church, a church that is unseen. You know, this gift that he supplies is that which brings to us the power of the gospel. We're sinful individuals that share this message one with another. You know, I love the writings of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a very brilliant theologian who died during World War II in an internment camp, you know, and he had that idea that, you know, the Christ in my brother is greater than the Christ in me. And that's the humility we saw in Peter, isn't it? I'm a sinful man. He recognized that. And that's the beginning work that God does. You know, Peter, who was so strong in his own abilities, you know, if we go to his first epistle, how does he start that out? He says, "Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace be multiplied." And then he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time." This Peter, who wanted to do so much on his own abilities, says it is God's work. That's what the sacrament is, whether it's baptism or the Lord's Supper. It's God's work. It's for you. There's no other reason for it to happen but for you, dear brother and sister, to believe and to lay hold of the gospel and the promises of God. And it comes in the same way. It has been from the very beginning. Our epistle, and I'm going to close with a reading of from the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. You know, this is a beautiful epistle. I just love how Paul, you know, quotes this. He brings himself into the equation at the end. But he tells us here, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas and of the 12, and after that he was seen at above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born in due time, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I laboring more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." And so also, we carry this message, brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, to be able to share this message of his love, of his atoning work, of his resurrection, because he sits upon the right hand of God the Father today, making intercession, bringing to us that righteousness which is able to secure our hearts, cause our hearts to rejoice in the midst of trial and tribulation, to give a heart that is thankful. May your heart, you brother and sister, be thankful unto the one that has procured for you that gift of life eternal. And unto him be all honor, glory, power, and dominion. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue with song number 731, and we will partake of the Lord's Supper. Number 731. Let us pray with and for them who will not partake of the Lord's Holy Supper. Lord Jesus Christ, thou bread of life, grant that thy holy communion may be a blessing to all those who today shall partake of it, that through the power of thy body and blood they may receive peace and comfort to their souls, and be strengthened in faith, love, and a lively hope of eternal life. Amen. Truly it is meet, right, and blessed that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drinking all of it, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Let's now confess our Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell.
The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you unto eternal life. Amen. Praise the Lord for this precious gift of which you partake. Remember his sufferings, his death, and his glorious resurrection when he comes again. May he arise and depart in the peace of the Lord.
Thank you.
give thanks and pray. We thank Thee, O Lord, Almighty God, that Thou hast refreshed us from this salutary gift, and we beseech Thee that Thou, with Thy mercy, would strengthen us through this communion in faith towards Thee and in fervent love towards one another, through Jesus Christ, Thy dear Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with Thee, the Holy Ghost, and ever one God, world without end. Amen. Humble your hearts before God and receive the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
As our song of thanks after communion, let's sing number 174, All Blessing, Honor, Thanks, and Praise. Number 174.
Announcements this week, we have Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, we'll have a board meeting on the Zoom, and then Wednesday, 7 o'clock, we'll have our Bible study at Maya's house, and Friday, women's Bible study at Shirley's place, and then Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, we'll have men's Bible study breakfast, and that'll be announced as to where, so... then come Sunday, we have our Bible study at 10:15, worship service at 11, and we'll close with hymn number 122. We'll have a free will offering.
Thank you.
Christian.